I'm Sarsha, and I'm going to read a scripture. My children, if you heartily accept my words and treasure my requirements, incline your ear to wisdom and take her truth into your heart. For if you yearn for insight and cry out for understanding, if you search for it as you would for silver and dig for it as you would for buried treasure, you will understand what fear of God is and discover how to truly know God. For God alone gives wisdom. From God's mouth comes knowledge and understanding. The Most High stores up wisdom for the just and shields those who walk in honor. For the Almighty guards the path of justice and watches over the way of the holy ones. Only then will you have an understanding of rightness, justice, and fairness, roads that lead to happiness. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge delights you, good judgment will protect you and understanding will guard you.
It is my pleasure to introduce our preacher to you today. The Reverend Jessica Rooks is our new district superintendent and is preaching today on the movie Arrival. Appropriate to have a female voice offering us insight during this month of focusing on women in film. Now, many of you will recognize her. You'll recognize her from an ad we and other congregations took out a few years ago, when there were only two other pastors and congregations in all of Denver willing to step forward against the United Methodist Church's policies and say, we will do weddings for all couples. One of the colleagues who boldly stood with me in that work was Jessica. We've known her to be a strong ally and a good friend. In fact, as she'll probably mention, she has deep ties to our very own congregation, and I'm grateful for her wisdom being shared with us today.
When Brad asked me to preach this month on women in film, I immediately remembered a particular movie. Then I realized it didn't quite fit the parameters Brad set, which was a movie that was written, produced, or directed by a woman. The movie Arrival doesn't fit those parameters, but it does have a strong female lead character. So Brad let me push the boundaries on his theme. Whether that's because he's a friend or now I'm his new district superintendent, I'm not sure. I do know that it is a joy to be worshiping with you this morning. It really is a coming home type of feeling for me. Highlands United Methodist Church holds a special place in my heart. It is where I was first introduced to church. It is my first faith community. I still remember walking up and down, probably running up and down the stairs as a young kid, and sitting in the balcony with the other families during worship and twirling around the pillars after service in the fellowship hall. Highlands introduced me to church, to a faith community. Highlands is my first church family, my first church language, so to speak, which may be why I thought of the movie Arrival. In Arrival, the question, are we alone in the universe, is answered as 12 alien vessels land around the globe. First contact is made, but communication is next to impossible because of the language barrier. Humanity and the aliens cannot understand each other, and this leads to confusion and fear and anger. Amy Adams plays a linguist, Louise Banks, who discovers the key to communicating with the aliens, and everything opens up. So even though the movie is technically about alien visitors, I think it's actually pretty easy to connect with the idea of language getting in the way. How often language is a barrier to relationship, to expanding our knowledge. Shoot, even when we speak the same language, our words can create disconnection. Language can be a barrier to relationship, or it can be a means of creating relationship. In the movie, they talk about a hypothesis, the Sapphire Whorf hypothesis. And it's the theory that the language we first learn influences our worldview. The idea is that the structure of the particular language we first learn, gendered versus non-gendered pronouns, word order, sentence structure, this language structure influences cognition and worldview as we develop. And the idea continues. Learning a new language can actually rewire the brain, expand a person's worldview, alter their cognitive responses. And so the more languages one learns, the more they're able to connect and understand with people from other cultures. The degree to which this may or may not be true has been debated by linguists for years. But even so, I think it raises some fascinating and fun questions. Learning another language often involves learning about the culture of that language. And when we venture out beyond our own cultural experiences, our own religions, we begin to see and understand and experience the world through a new lens, a broader lens, a more inclusive lens. Whether this actually rewires our brain or not, I don't know. But it certainly has an impact on us. And as I played with that hypothesis for the week, I'm not sure why, but the more time I spent with it, the more I began to think about the variety of our Bible translations. The exact number of translations of the Bible is unknown, but it's estimated that there are around 900 different English translations alone. Many people, myself included, have a preferred translation. More often than not, I start with the NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version. My next two choices are the Common English Bible and the Inclusive Bible. And what I've discovered is over time, Bible translations create their own language of sorts. Different translations have different target audiences, use different original source material, and have different theological leanings. And the Bible translation we read can influence our understanding and our view of God, of Jesus, of Christianity. My favorite Bible studies are ones in which we read the same passage from as many different translations as possible. It's amazing how it opens the conversation. It expands our understanding. It challenges us to ask questions and begin with curiosity and wonder. And I believe any time our knowledge and understanding are expanded, it's a good thing. It's a God thing. You know, I was once told by a member of a previous church that I served, and he was absolutely serious. He said if the King James Version of the Bible was good enough for Jesus, then it was good enough for him. Think on that for a moment. What most people don't actually realize is that the King James Version is one of the least accurate translations. Beautifully written, poetic. For many Christians, it has an emotional connection. But it's the least accurate translation. And it wasn't used by Jesus. It isn't necessarily bad that translations differ or that we choose a preferred version, our Bible language, so to speak. What's important, I think, is that we're aware of the choice. And we understand that the Bible translation we choose influences our view of the stories, the Bible itself. It has an impact on our faith development. And choosing translations is nothing new. You could argue that this actually dates back to early Christianity. In the New Testament, we have four Gospels. These four Gospels are part of our canonized Bible, but there were actually many more Gospels in the early Christian communities. A Gospel was the life and teachings of Jesus taught through the lens of different apostles and followers. And as the apostles spread to different communities and towns and ventured out, the different Gospels emerged. Because communities and individuals became followers of Jesus through the apostles, through Matthew or Mark or Luke or John or Thomas or Philip or Mary or Paul or Peter. And the different communities understood Jesus through the unique perspective and teachings of these individual apostles. And the communities even eventually began to argue over which apostle, which gospel was more accurate than the others, who was right, who was wrong. And as religious leaders argued, they finally felt a need to decide what was right, what was wrong, what was in, what was out. They felt a need to narrow the God language, the Bible language, the faith language. So they voted on which books to include and which to exclude. And the language of the Bible, so to speak, that we have today was finalized at the end of the 4th century. The canon was set, and all the gospels and writings that were not approved were declared heretical, wrong, and they were ordered to be destroyed. Get rid of these other languages altogether. But then, you may know this story, in 1945, near Nag Hammadi in Upper Egypt, a man, Muhammad Ali al-Saman, he was digging through the ground and discovered a jar. And inside the jar were 13 papyrus books bound in leather. He didn't know at the time what these books were. His mom actually used some of the books for kindling in their fire. And it took years and black market sales and biblical scholars doing research to discover that the jar unearthed at Nag Hammadi held 52 texts about Jesus and about the early Christian communities, written in the 1st century. These texts included the Gospel of Thomas and the Gospel of Philip, the Gospel of Mary Magdalene and the Gospel of Truth, just to name a few. These writings are a part of the Gnostic tradition, and the Gospels are called the Gnostic Gospels. If anyone read the book or saw the movie The Da Vinci Code, you may have heard some of this before. It's the idea that Jesus and Mary Magdalene were married. This idea comes from these Gospels found at Nag Hammadi. In the Gospel of Thomas, it says this: "The companion of the Savior is Mary Magdalene. Christ loved her more than all the disciples and used to kiss her often on the mouth. The rest of the disciples were offended. They said to him, 'Why do you love her more than all of us?' The Savior answered and said to them, 'Why do I not love you as I love her?'" And the Gospel of Mary Magdalene says, "Peter said to Mary, 'Sister, we know that the Savior loved you more than the rest of women. Tell us the words of the Savior which you remember, which you know, but we do not, nor have we ever heard them.' Mary answered and said, 'What is hidden from you, I will proclaim to you.'" In the Gnostic Gospels, Mary Magdalene is a primary figure. She takes center stage. She was the apostle to the apostles, the companion of the Christ. She may be one of the earliest examples of Christianity rewriting history to exclude female voices. The Gnostic Gospels were declared heretical because they told a different story. They portrayed Jesus in a different way. They spoke a different faith language, so to speak. And whether we follow the Jesus found in the canonized Bible or the Jesus found in the Gnostic writings, that can influence our worldview, our understanding of Christianity, how we live into our world. Because language matters. Inclusion of differing voices matters. Language can be a barrier to relationship, or it can be the means of developing relationship. And we know, within Christianity, we've been fighting amongst ourselves since the earliest followers of Jesus. Is Jesus human or divine or both? Does Scripture say his mother Mary was a virgin or simply a young woman? Was Jesus' resurrection spiritual or physical? Was Jesus' message meant for the Jewish community, for both Jews and Gentiles? Did Jesus and Mary Magdalene have a special relationship? And depending on how you read and understand Scripture, the answers vary. And that impacts our understanding of Christianity, our understanding of what it means to be Christian and how we live into that in our world. So it's an important question. How do we allow our language, our Bible language, our faith language, our everyday language to be a means of developing relationship? How do we use language to further God's grace and love? How do we not let our faith language become the means in which we belittle, condemn, separate, and abuse each other? These questions are important at any time, but they seem especially important right now. We are living in a time of two pandemics, one related to COVID-19, the other, the pandemic of racism. And both pandemics create a sense of fear and separation. Both pandemics elicit responses that either cause us to turn, that either cause us to turn insular, thinking primarily of ourselves, our own experiences, our own desires and wants, or it challenges us to think outward, to listen to those with differing life experiences, to try and learn more, gain better understanding, seek a kind of wisdom that grounds us in God's justice and God's mercy. One response is individual-based and the other is communal-based, and they are in essence two different languages, and sometimes it's hard to communicate with one another. I wonder sometimes if the conflicts within our country are in part because we speak different languages, in essence, but we don't actually acknowledge it, we don't recognize it. Throughout the movie Arrival, there is confusion about the aliens' purpose. And it turns out they want to give humanity something. Louise, the lead female character, is the only one to figure it out, the only one to truly risk her own life and step out in faith. And she's surrounded mostly by military men. Whether that's intentional or not, she is this single female, this sole female who understands things a bit different than everybody else. She isn't motivated by fear. She approaches a lack of understanding with curiosity and wonder rather than judgment. And the aliens' purpose, it's figured out, is to give humanity the gift of their language. Because understanding their language leads one to a new way of understanding and living in the world. When we don't understand something, we can choose to be fearful, judgmental, and distrusting. We can close ourselves off, put up walls. We can choose to use our language as a weapon. Or we can ask questions and learn from each other and seek to find a common understanding. I believe that God is bigger than one gospel or one Bible translation or one denomination or one religion. God is bigger than any one of us can conceive on our own. And so my faith language encourages me to expand my knowledge, to include worldviews other than my own. A faith language that began with my experiences at Highlands. So how we as individuals and as communities use our faith language, we can either build up the kingdom of God or we can separate and divide ourselves. And it's a choice that we all make. So I'm wondering, what faith language are you choosing? And how is it motivating you to live in the world today? Amen.